Hello, Arlington. You're listening to Practical Security on Arlington Independent Media's Radio Arlington. This is a program where we provide security information to help you protect yourself, your home, your community, and your workplace from security threats, including digital danger in cyberspace. My name is Beverly Allen, and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes. Before we go any further, I want to remind you that this program live streams on the web at wera.fm. And you can listen on demand at practicalsecurityradio.com, at mixcloud.com, and right here at wera.fm/demand. You can also follow us on Twitter at Practical Secure. Today, we're discussing ad hacking and fraudulent advertising online. And joining me in that discussion is Maggie Louie. Maggie is the co-founder and chief executive officer of DEFCON. She founded DEFCON in 2016 after seeing a glaring deficiency in cyber defense for advertising networks. She aimed to bridge the gap between often disconnected advertising technology and cybersecurity. This is a gap that cybercriminals will exploit for an estimated $19 billion in 2018. Before DEFCON, Maggie earned more than a decade of leadership experience in digital media. As a self-described mobile evangelist, she led digital transformation in business development roles at the Los Angeles Times and at EW Scripps, developing digital product roadmaps and establishing intellectual property measures that are still used today by the Times in third-party usage contracts, before serving in editorial leadership capacities for regional publications around her Memphis home base. Maggie spent the 1990s as a national recording artist signed to Delta Records. Maggie Louie, welcome to Practical Security, and thank you for joining me this morning to discuss ad hacking and fraudulent advertising online.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is going to be a real eye-opener for our listeners. I know that this is not often a topic that folks are thinking or talking about when we talk about cybersecurity. So first, let's define ad hacking or advertising fraud for our listeners. What is ad hacking?
It's really complex, and there are a lot of different moving parts and kinds of different scams in this space. But essentially, what we used to think of is just click fraud has evolved into a broad way of attacking consumers and companies by using the ad highway to distribute a myriad of exploits. Everything from drive-by downloads, phishing attacks, and Trojans beyond. So it's no longer just about click fraud.
You know, that it's interesting that you should mention malware and phishing attacks and so forth. That's usually what we think of when we think about adware and so forth, but we don't think about the aspect that you and I are going to be discussing today, which is the actual fraud where people are getting millions and millions of dollars in fraudulent ad revenue. What are some examples of ad hacking?
Well, one example, and it's one of the earliest ones that I found, it may have been discovered by other people as well, but this is sort of what inspired me to start the company, was a hacker had used an ad to inject his own ad tags into the publisher's site and start hijacking revenue from the publisher's site. And then also was hitting those pages that he had hijacked with his own tags with bots to further make more money on those pages than just what the publisher was making organically. So that's a very easy one and something very common.
So there's a lot to unpack there. For listeners who may not be familiar with how online advertising works, could you give a little background as to how advertisers make money and how the sites that are promoting these ads also make money, to give us a bit of a backdrop so that we can better understand the frauds and schemes that go on here?
Yeah, I'm happy to. And it's very complex, which is part of why it's being exploited But essentially, the model of the whole industry works like this. The advertiser wants to get their message in front of a consumer like you or me. And the best way to do that is to get on a website that that viewer is already looking at. News sites tend to be more trusted than others, so they're very popular for brands to advertise on. But the cheapest way to do that is through networks. And this is where things get a bit sticky, because it's hard to see into who's buying and who's selling in that space. But ultimately, that's where a lot of things can go wrong. And those ads getting onto the publisher's site should mean that the advertiser has paid the publisher, like the Los Angeles Times, for the advertising. But what's really happening is that it's getting intercepted. It can be intercepted and diverted to another site that isn't owned by the publisher. It can be intercepted and sent to a spoof site that is meant to, you know, be a counterfeit version of the publisher site. Or the money can just simply be being stolen by someone replacing the tags with their own tags and stealing that revenue. But ultimately, those ads you see on sites are essentially microtransactions. Within the ad itself, the payment and message of how many people have seen it and so on, all of that accounting is happening within the ad itself. And the ad account is where the money is going. And that's kind of the nature of how this ecosystem is being used to be exploited and generate money, as well as move money around.
And we see that as consumers, as the pop-up ads, when we go to whatever the news site is, or even YouTube, for example. But those are the pop-up ads that come at us. That's what we see of online advertising. Now, you mentioned tags several times. For our listeners who may not understand the language of online advertising, what are tags?
Well, tags are the piece of script that are delivering all of the information into the placement where the ad wants to go. Think of it as a pneumatic tube, and that pneumatic tube is what's carrying the message back and forth, and that's the tag. But I wanted to back up for a second, because you said something very interesting that I think is a misconception with a lot of people, which is that pop-ups are online advertising. And that's actually not it. The 728 by 90s, the banners, the cubes, those are the legitimate ads. When you see a pop-up that you can't back out of, that you can't X out of, something that is taking you to another site, that's ad fraud. That is not something a publisher wants. Those are things that are making their way into the system and actually are the bane of most publishers' existence. That's one of the biggest problems right now for publishers, those pop-ups. And consumers should know that publishers do not want those, and it's not something that they're trying to distribute to their audiences.
Okay, so my sense of irritation every time I see a pop-up that I'm struggling with is valid.
It's very valid, yeah. And those are the things that hackers are using to deliver any number of things. It could be just a redirect. But what a lot of times it is it's something where they're trying to harvest some consumer data from you, which they can resell on some affiliate marketing site for, you know, anywhere from $1 to $5, so on average maybe $3. But there's a lot of money that can be made besides the ad dollars that they're stealing. They can also generate more money. Other attacks like drive-by downloads are, another way that they could do something like enslave your machine to use it as part of a botnet, or use it for crypto mining. So there's a whole myriad of things that can be deployed through those kinds of ads.
Okay, this is very interesting, and I'm simply going to follow our train of thought here. Now, businesses may suspect that there is something suspicious going on with their online advertising, because they may notice a decrease in their ad revenues. But for consumers, how would they know that there is fraudulent activity going on? Now, we talked about the pop-ups, so that's a good tip. Are there other telltale signs that consumers should watch out for?
Yeah, there are a couple things that you can look out for, aside from the pop-up. One is ads that are in a foreign language, unless if you speak a foreign language and you go to a lot of sites, you might see that. But if you see ads, like, let's say, from Israel or from Egypt or from Russia, that are obviously promoting things from another country, and you haven't been there, or you're not from that country, you have no connection to that, that's a good indicator that there could be a fraudulent ad, deploying something underneath that. Another one is ads that are advertising something that is local in nature, but not to you, and it doesn't have a tourist piece. So let's say you're in Atlanta, Georgia, which I am, and you get an ad for a boutique, a discounted boutique or a salon in Naples, Florida, or in South Carolina somewhere, that doesn't really make sense, and that's not something that that advertiser would target. So that's potentially a spoofed ad or one that's, you know, that's being that's a fake ad. So things like that are easy to look for. Off-size ads, video ads that have kind of offensive content, that can be another tip-off.
Those are good tips because, you know, generally speaking, advertisers are not trying to alienate potential customers.
No, they are not.
And so once things are not making sense or they're irritating, really annoying, that's probably a good clue that this is not legitimate advertising.
That's right, yeah. Walmart, for instance, is a great example. Amazon's a great example. These pop-ups that say win $1,000, that are, you know, redirect you, off of a site that you're in, that's not something that they would engage in. You know, that's not a normal experience that they would engage in. Another one that's going around for the holidays is a Hollister ad that is deploying an exploit, and it's in Japanese. The Hollister ad is a Japanese ad. So if you see that one, those kinds of things, just like you say, advertisers don't want to alienate their audience. So if they're doing something that you find annoying, there's a good chance that that's a fraudster.
Okay. And so legitimately, you said this earlier, but I'm rephrasing it because I realize that this topic is fairly new, I would guess, for many of our listeners, because this is really an area in which it's primarily businesses that are being impacted as opposed to consumers. You know, we hear a lot about phishing scams and ID theft and so forth, and that takes up a lot of the headlines. So this is a little new. So legitimately, for online advertising, there are legitimate ways for the folks involved to make money. And so the advertisers are paying for these ads and they're hoping to recover their advertising dollars and then some because they will draw customers in. But legitimate websites on which these ads are placed are also getting paid for the number of views or clicks on legitimate ads. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, yeah.
Okay. And so that's legitimate use. And so the problem comes in when a hijacker diverts that ad from a legitimate website to a fraudulent website and then collects those revenues or deposits those revenues into their own accounts.
That's right. That's one way. There are a lot of ways, but that's one way for sure.
Okay. All right. So we've talked about how ad hacking affects businesses in terms of lost revenues. And we've talked a little bit about how that potentially affects consumers in terms of these hackers skimming consumer credentials and so forth, potentially. Who else could be impacted by this?
Well, I think that companies could be impacted by this as well. A lot of firewalls will allow new sites into their intranet through their networks, and the advertising in that, if it's infected, could potentially affect their security as well. One of the concerns that I have and that I think is a growing concern in the cyber industry is that this is essentially an underserviced area under attack. And so when you think about it like a back road highway that criminals use because there's nobody patrolling that road. And more these attacks are getting sophisticated and deploying new attacks all of the time. So I think it's just a matter of time before we see a large ransomware attack or something of a much larger nature at mass using this methodology and cinegraphic exploit deploying through the ad creative itself to attack consumers and companies.
Wow, that is a pretty scary thought. But it's the reason you're here today because, you know, knowledge is power. And the more aware people become of ad hacking, advertising fraud, and the potential, the better armed they are to do something about it, or at least to not become victims of these kinds of schemes. Maggie, are certain advertising fraud schemes more prevalent during the holiday season?
We've actually been tracking three exploits. We catalog them and version them as they go through mutations and track how many times they're hitting. And there are three that we've just seen in the last month that continue to spike through the holidays. We saw a massive spike during Black Friday through Cyber Monday in these three. One of them is a malicious redirect, and that's a pretty common one. It's not particularly high risk. But there is one that is deploying a drive-by download by means of video, which could be potentially very dangerous. We've actually been researching exactly what it's doing after the fact. So we'll know more about that after the holidays.
All I can say is I'm glad you're on it.
You know, there are a lot of companies now that are, I think, are really focused on that. And it's great because I think this has been thought of for a long time. It's just an ad problem. And around quality and advertising and annoyance. But I think that more and more, you know, the work that people like White Ops are doing, Moat, there are a lot of companies out there now that are doing a lot of great work to help expose just how vulnerable the industry is to much larger attacks. So I think it's really great that so many people are really focused on it now.
That's really reassuring. You know, we mentioned a statistic earlier in the conversation, and I'm going to expand on that because according to your numbers and numbers from an organization called adhack.org, last year, about $9 billion in ad revenue was stolen from content publishers. This year, that number rose to $19 billion, which is about $51 million per day. And next year, that number is expected to double to more than $40 billion. Those are staggering numbers.
Yeah, Juniper Researcher, they did the first study that came up with that number. And now I think that the more recent projections exceed that. And I think they're topping $56 billion in losses by 2022.
Wow.
So it's growing so quickly. Part of that is because that there's really very little barrier to entry. You know, only recently have convictions started, and I think people are becoming aware that it's crime. But it's very easy to copy and paste a lot of these exploits. So it's ripe with script kiddies who just want to skim a few bucks here and there and make a little pot. You don't have to be particularly sophisticated to do this.
Wow. And that's a great segue because your organization was involved in a high-profile case that resulted in an arrest. In fact, you worked with the FBI. I'm going to let you tell the story. I think that's fascinating.
We worked actually with the Tennessee law enforcement. This is we started that in September of 2016, and the prosecution, he was finally convicted. And that was the first conviction for online advertising fraud, theft, and money laundering. And he did get a 4-year prison sentence. And it was quite a big win, I think, for the industry in that the more that even, at any scale, you're able to get prosecutions like the one recently that the FBI, the DOJ announced, those are going to be critical to being able to create some barriers of entry and stop that number from growing year over year.
Absolutely. There has to be a consequence for this kind of thing. For those of you just joining us, my guest today is Maggie Louie, who is the co-founder and chief executive officer of DEFCON, and we are discussing ad hacking and fraudulent advertising online. So Maggie, you and your company are working on some other cases. I know you're not able to talk specifically about those, but can you give us some general idea of what's involved there?
I don't want to go into too much detail, but we are working on, there are four core cases, and they have some overlap with one another, and they involve more than 30 unique fake ad networks that to date now have distributed over 3 million attacks. And we've actually just brought in the former supervisor for the cyber squad at the FBI, who is now leading, he's heading up our global cyber investigation and government relations. So he's overseeing all of that part of what we're doing to really help make the most use of the information we're able to bring to bear.
Okay, that is good news. In fact, that's great news. So let me ask this. There's so many questions that I want to ask you, and I'm looking at the clock, but I'm going to give it a good college try here. For companies who suspect that they may be victims of advertising fraud, who can they call, or you know, what are the resources available to them?
There are a lot of resources out there. I think that if you're working with a big company like Google, and they're managing, if you're working, DFP, which is Double Click for Publisher, Ad Server, you can certainly reach out to them, and they can be very helpful. Other companies like ours, you can reach out to through adhack.org, too, and the local media association. We're providing publishers with free access to our platform, so they have some level of protection that doesn't eat into their budget. So I think other companies out there, too, are really getting proactive about trying to help publishers through this. So I definitely would say adhack.org is a nonprofit organization that is committed to helping publishers with this. The former founder and CEO of the local media consortium is spearheading that, Rusty Coates, and he's really historically been able to bring a lot of different people around the campfire to talk about these kind of industry problems. So I think he's doing a lot and making a lot of headway through adhack.org and local media association for sure.
Now, your company, DevCon, also has tools. I think I read that correctly on your website. Tools that companies can deploy to help prevent ad hacks or to help in the discovery. Tell us about those.
Sure. Yeah, our software, it's not about the bot problem. There are a lot of companies that are dealing with bot traffic and measuring that and blocking bot traffic. Our software is really kind of a Norton's antivirus, but for advertising. Publishers can use our platform to either monitor or just actually block real-time exploits that are trying to make their way through the system. For publishers, like I said, through our Freedom for Media, we're able to give that away free to publishers so they've got some insight into some transparency into what's coming through their pipes, you know, which networks might be bringing a bulk of that, and be able to even provide those networks with information that helps them block it. Yeah, we provide real-time blocking of all of those kinds of exploits, and it's really built around cyber techniques. It's not about blocking ad calls, which can really deteriorate revenue because you're turning off everything or blocking an entire network. So that's kind of how our software works.
And for listeners who are interested in learning more about DevCon, your company, where can they find information about DevCon?
Yeah, they can check us out on our website. It's devcondetect.com. Or they can actually, if they're a publisher and they want free access, they can reach out to adhack.org or to the local media association. And they can provide them with a free account that they have through that program.
Wonderful. Maggie, we're just about at the bottom of the hour, and so I want to be sure to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners two or three key takeaways that you want them to leave this discussion thinking about.
Being that this is a cyber-focused program, I really think that the main thing I'd like to express to the cyber community is just that this isn't an ad problem. It's not a quality problem. It's really a cyber problem. And that I think that the publishing and advertising industry really needs as much help and support from the cyber industry as they can get. And to get involved and to start to see how these exploits are happening, I think one would be fascinating for most InfoSec people, but also really transformative for the industry and the awareness of what's really going on.
So there needs to be more collaboration.
Absolutely. Well said.
You know, this is so new because often we are thinking about many of the other things. You know, we're talking about the Internet of Things, and we're talking about phishing scams, and we're talking about ID theft. But I have to say, in the time we've been doing this program, this is the first program where I've actually discussed fraudulent advertising and ad hacking. So we are going to have you back to really peel the onion a bit more, because there is so much to unpack here.
I'd be delighted to, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. But I'm going to say not so fast, because I also noted that there's an anti-money laundering component of our discussion as well, which we haven't talked about. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things, I think one of the reasons that cyber criminals have really locked into this space is that ad, buy, and sell accounts are essentially bank accounts. It's moving funds back and forth, and you can launder money fairly easily with a high level of anonymity and speed. And you can, if you want to launder $1 million, you can do that pretty cost effectively, pretty quickly, and in very small increments. You know, advertising are essentially microtransactions, and ad accounts are essentially bank accounts, and they can pour out into other digital accounts that it's very easy to lose a thread. And one of the things that our platform is doing is being able to continue following that thread and provide account numbers where criminal money might be waiting.
Will you promise to come back to talk some more about this?
Yeah, I would love to. And I'd love to maybe bring my CTO and our newest member that's heading up the cyber investigation side. I think you'd really love talking with them, too. They're much more interesting than I am.
That's going to be debatable, Maggie. But we will make that happen. And so, Maggie Louie, co-founder and chief executive officer of DevCon, joining me by phone from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for being my guest this morning on Practical Security.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
It's been a pleasure. You can listen to this and other podcasts on my website at practicalsecurityradio.com, on mixcloud.com, and also here on Radio Arlington's WERA.FM. Please be sure to follow Practical Security on Twitter at Practical Secure. And as for me, Beverly Allen, you can join me again next Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Arlington Independent Media's Radio Arlington for more Practical Security. Until then, be safe, be secure, be practical.